When we have a desire to enter a spiritual life, a desire to learn more about our divine nature, we start out often not knowing what that is we're looking for. It's very shrouded in a kind of mystical idea of something, but that something doesn't necessarily make itself known to our mind. And so we read and we go to workshops and we try to let our mind get engaged with what does it possibly mean to have a spiritual life and what does it mean to be a divine being. But the informational level lasts for a while and then it stops being important. It's not that it goes out of existence, but the longing for experience takes place. And the longing for experience, as opposed to the desire to know something through the mind, becomes a reaching out of the heart. The heart begins to long for an experience that only the mind was interested in. You know, for instance, the difference between being curious about something and being dedicated to something. Big difference, curious and dedicated. So one could start out with an interest in spirituality, and many people do. And then over time, and sometimes over a very long period of time, it becomes something that the heart then takes over with. And then there's a reaching out and a longing. And in that reaching out and longing, what happens is that divine reality, not the thought about divine reality, but divine reality itself, begins to make itself known in ways that are the language of the soul. Each soul having its own inner language about what's easiest for it to perceive or receive. The language of spiritual reality or divine reality doesn't come to every person the same way. We know that, certainly. There are, you know, hundreds of spiritual paths, perhaps thousands, in the world that lead people to the same ultimate destination by the root, that is native to their own soul, their own inner language. But one of the things that happens that is common to all paths is that the mind begins to play a lesser role in determining what life is about. We stop asking our mind so much and ask our hearts more. That's one of the common denominators of spiritual deepening. Now, when you ask yourself what your heart tells you about what life is about, that doesn't mean that you're going to come up with a verbal answer. It means that you're asking the question to know from your heart where to go, what is right, where do you belong? That's not a verbal question. That's a question of your heart. You're asking your heart to tell you where do you belong, where should you go, where should you be, and with whom. And that kind of question takes over more and more strongly as spiritual deepening takes place. The longing to know what's right, where to go, where to be, becomes a stronger longing. Sometimes, for some people, the answer is very clear and unidirectional. I must go here, and this is where I belong, and this is where I stay. Sometimes it's not unidirectional, it's multidirectional, which is I need to go here now, and then later on I need to go here, and I need to go here. And there are phases of a spiritual life that dictate that multidirectionality. There are also people who stay within one spiritual direction for their whole life. That's true too. And neither is better, it just is. It corresponds to what the inner language of the soul is. With increasing connection with your own soul essence, the question about where do I belong and where should I be gets answered more clearly. It's always there because that's what surrender and turning one's ego over to divine will is about, that you don't ask your mind to tell you where to go, you ask God to tell you where to go or where you should be. So the answer, as surrender takes place more, and as the question, where do I belong and where should I be and what should I be doing here, you're addressing more and more, you're addressing the divine one to answer that question for you from a deeper and deeper place in your heart. When surrender goes to an even deeper level about asking that question, it becomes a minute-by-minute question rather than a life question. So the question is like a breath. It's not a thought, where shall I go? It's, I'm breathing, and this question is now part of my bones, my breath, my cells, my arms, my legs. They're all about, I am yours. I am yours. One says to the divine, I am yours. You say it with the cells of your body. You say it with your heart. You say it with your toes. You say it with your ears. So then, surrender and the question itself becomes minute by minute. And the impulses of the divine, which is divine will manifesting in form, or desiring to manifest in form, come to you minute by minute, not over a long period of time, but minute by minute. So in the next minute, what is new comes into the picture, and the last minute is gone. And then something new shows up, and there's where you're meant to go, with complete trust that that's just what divine will is. It's the flow from minute to minute of the manifestation of divine will into a consciousness that's willing to accept that movement of an answer to the question of where do I belong and where should I go. The answer comes minute by minute. And so an unfolding path, as one deepens spiritually, is directed more and more clearly in terms of what impulses to follow minute by minute, or you could say hour by hour. But it's not the large picture, it's the smaller picture. And that's how divine manifestation comes into being, with something that was completely unexpected happening in the next minute. Something that was completely unknown, because it's not coming from anything that's in your mind. It's coming from your trust and surrender connected with that wind that blows the breath of God through all beings. The wind is blowing, the breath is moving, but those who receive it can act with it. Those who don't receive it don't know what's happening. They don't know what's happening, so there's nothing to receive. The one who has a consciousness that's open to the minute-by-minute question of where do I belong and where should I go, receives the breath as here. Not the explanation of here, but the breath as here. And then life becomes this wondrous unfoldment of the minute-by-minute newness of divine life manifesting, because all of life is meant to do that, to continually unfold divine will in form through the breath of God manifesting those currents of energy that unfold the new. This is how we're meant to live as divine beings, as co-creators in the sense of being attuned to divine will, which is the breath of God, and having some participation in knowing what the manifestation of that might be. This is how we're meant to live. But the wonder of it is that this is how we're meant to live. The wonder of it is that it's at all possible to live like this. And also that when we do live like this, the miraculous comes into being. Because the attachment to the past isn't there, the attachment to judgment isn't there, just the total willingness to be with the breath of God is there, to embrace the new that comes from the unknown exercise or expression of divine will. So I feel that we are, to the extent we can hold this to be true, capable of celebrating that such an existence is possible, that such a unity of the human and the divine is possible, and that we are all being called to it, to this celebration of human divine life.